Sergeant First Class Toby Nunn served two tours of duty in Iraq. He's experienced the violence, destruction, and stress of heavy combat. Nunn says after living 24/7 with your finger on the trigger and nostrils flared, it's very hard to adjust back to civilian life. He told Steve Paulson that, not surprisingly, for many of the men in his platoon, the transition isn't going very well.
Sadly, and, you know, I'm not going to quote statistics because I hate to be inaccurate, but I think that you will find a trend is the majority of the guys returning have been there before. So this won't be their first return trip home. So they kind of have a good idea of what to expect. But I do think that they're going to find a supportive nation, one that's a little tired and weary from this longer conflict. But I think they're going to find that they are supported. However, there's not a lot of jobs out there right now. The unemployment rate for returning veterans, you know, is in double digits. You know, the homeless rate is extremely high. I believe that's in double digits as well. And, you know, with everybody here in America fighting for those jobs and taking the time to get an education and making themselves a little more competitive, our service members that have been serving the country have lost that, you know, workplace competitive edge. So I think they're going to find themselves in a tough position to find employment and employment that's suiting to their talents and skill sets.
Well, there are some other statistics as well reflecting some of the personal trauma. Divorce rate is triple the national average for veterans. Alcoholism is something like four times the national average. Suicide rates are just off the charts. You surprised by those figures?
I'm going to answer this carefully. I myself was surprised. And one of the reasons I myself was surprised is because I've always been one of those guys that thought this would never happen to me. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm squared away. I've had a good career. I've done everything by the book and done things right. Stuff like that doesn't happen to me. And I came back and my wife and I struggled. And, you know, it's not because she's a bad person or I'm a bad person or we don't love each other. It just, you know, you have these experiences and it makes it extremely tough. So I thought, you know, having a very safe and secure marriage and with kids that I would be immune to these things. And I found that even my wife and I struggled and, you know, we've made it through for the most part, but it's not surprising. And especially, you know, I see my soldiers all the time, you know, calling me and letting me know that yet again, they've become a statistic. The suicide rate, unfortunately, it's sad because a lot of the reasons why these guys do it is because that change of pace and that alienation, going from having a support structure that's immediate and understanding to being alone and misunderstood with no support structure in the form of battle buddies and friendship and that typical fellowship you feel with your comrades. And, you know, that's sad that these guys and gals, you know, go out like that. And alcohol, you know, I too am guilty. You know, it's a lot easier to go to sleep when you have a belly full of booze than it is when your mind's wide awake and you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any regrets about joining the Army, about going off to Iraq to fight in this war?
Absolutely not. You know, there's some things I wish I hadn't seen, but there's nothing I regret doing, and I don't regret joining, and I don't regret my service. I think it's an important part of what's defined me as a person, as an adult, and as a human. I think that we have to have these experiences to appreciate ourselves and our families and our friends more. I also appreciate a toilet and a warm meal a lot more than I used to, but absolutely not. You know, as a military member, I'm not afforded a political opinion, and I like that. I like the fact that I serve something greater than just myself and my own personal views. So the political aspect of it for me never got involved. It was something that I needed to do for myself and to earn my citizenship. And on my second tour, it was important for me to make sure that I led those guys the best that I could because, you know, we need good leadership. We need good performers, and we need guys that understand the big picture. And sometimes we get a little lost in the tunnel vision of what's going on in our own personal lives and not the big strategic impact of our country. And I know that it's important that guys like me go out and do that. Mm-hmm. So
let me follow up on that, because you were the subject of a documentary that was made about your squad. It was called Bad Voodoo's War. And one of the things that was very clear about that was that you felt a personal responsibility to care for the guys in your squad. I mean, you were going to do everything you could to bring them back alive and hopefully in one piece. Do you still feel that sense of responsibility now that you're home?
Absolutely. Any soldier that I've had the honor to lead or be around is, you know, someone very dear and special to me. Even the guys that didn't like me and I didn't like, you know, they're still very, very dear to me. And the awesome responsibility of human life weighs heavy. And when a mom charges you with the health and welfare of her son or a wife or a child, depends on you to make sure that their dad makes it back all right. You can't take that lightly. And I think anyone that just laughs at it off or shrugs it off is a terrible leadership failure. You know, I care about these guys still. You know, I'm leaving tomorrow to go out and, you know, yank the head out of one of my guys' butts because, you know, he's been a knucklehead since he's been back. Because, you know, it's tough on these young guys. They spend a lot of time overseas living 10 seconds at a time. They don't think that they have to plan for the future. And when you go through life living it 10 seconds at a time, you don't save your money, you don't, you know, plan your future, you don't react to things in a timely manner, and you find yourself in a lot of trouble that, you know, you typically won't find because your entire adult life's been spent dealing with survival, physical survival. And, you know, when you look at Maslow's hierarchy, it's tough to believe that, you know, a large portion of our youth are dealing on the lowest level, and that's just mainly subsistence.
You mentioned that you haven't regretted your service, your time in Iraq, although you wish you hadn't seen certain things. And I'm wondering if you've had to do some work personally to try to deal with that.
There will be, and there will be for a long period of time, stuff that I'm going to have to, you know, deal with, you know, without getting too graphic. Being a father, it's tough to turn, you know, those parental emotions off when, you know, you're seeing a kid's life being wasted mindlessly. And, you know, you see a bright future just disappear in a pink mist. It's just stuff like that bothers me, and it always will. It helps me appreciate my kids. It definitely makes me really protective. I take my daughter to the grocery store, and I don't think the shopping cart gets without 6 inches of my grasp at any moment in time. I see other parents, you know, walking around the produce section with their kids at one section and, you know, them at the other. I can't do that. You know, I just, you know, the human life is just too precious, and I get a little protective of, especially the kids. So stuff like that, I wish that, you know, I'm glad that I've had the experience, and I'm not ashamed, or I don't regret any single time I pulled the trigger, any time I picked up the radio and made a decision. But, you know, when you see, you know, kids, you know, body parts, you know, strewn out over a street because they were just, you know, at the school bus stop or at the crosswalk waiting to go to school, and, you know, someone mindlessly detonated a car bomb near them or a device, yeah, it just bothers you, you know, because, you know, those kids, you know, they're not the enemy. They're not a political agenda. They're just kids. You know, they're victims of terrorism, which is sad because they don't understand what terrorism is. And I hate to see the waste of innocent human life. And that's something that I probably will always struggle with.
Mm-hmm. You've still got young kids yourself. Would you like to see them join the military at some point?
Well, you know, my son, my oldest, is 11, and, you know, we have this terrible rivalry because he wants to be a Marine and I was a soldier. And, but, you know, I think if my son wants to serve his nation, that I will support him in that venture. I would prefer that he does it in a time of peace. You know, I don't want to lose one of my children, but it would be hypocritical for me to sit up here and talk about the value of what I've learned serving and then shortchange him that opportunity.
Thank
but
you.
But I would prefer a time of peace.
Yeah. Thank you.
And an administrative job.
So
Sergeant First Class Toby Nunn served 2 tours of duty in Iraq. Steve Paulson spoke with him. Nunn currently works for the nonprofit organization Soldiers Angels. Soldiers Angels supports veterans and deployed military personnel and their families, from their Adopt a Soldier program to coordinating homemade quilts for wounded veterans. Their motto, May no soldier go unloved. May no soldier walk alone. May no soldier be forgotten until they all come home.